Northwest Western New York at 100.9, 103.7, 104.3, 104.9, and 105.5. This is WCJW, Warsaw, Batavia, Arcade, Avon, and Geneseo. Today's favorites and the legends. Western New York's CJ Country.
It's another CJ Country Saturday, and time to update the news for producers and farmers of CJ Country. Let's get the show on the road with Andrew McCray and Farming the Countryside.
This edition of Farming the Countryside is brought to you by the Top Producer Summit. Get insight into the 2026 economy, farmland investment, and more. February 9th through 11th in Nashville, Tennessee. Register today at tpsummit.com. Welcome to Farming the Countryside. I'm Andrew McCray. Wireless fencing is technology being adopted by some farmers and ranchers, and it could make rotational grazing an option for more people since it lowers the amount of labor needed to move electric fences. This week, I visited with a farmer who is not only rotational grazing his cows and calves, but he's also using it as an opportunity to better utilize crop residue and implement some unique intercropping systems in his Illinois cornfields. It's our topic for this week's Farm in the Countryside, brought to you by the Top Producer Summit. This year's summit takes place February 9th through 11th in Nashville. This is always the place to hear from farmers and leaders in the ag industry to get insights on better farming practices, economic considerations, emerging trends, and much more. You'll hear from some of the nation's top speakers, as well as information-packed workshops, and still leave time for entertainment in the city. Join me for the Top Producer Summit. To learn more and to register, go to tpsummit.com. Derek Minold farms in central Illinois near Peoria. I was interested in visiting with him because of some of the work he's been doing recently with wireless fencing for his cow herd. But he's also doing some innovative things with his adjacent corn ground, grazing crop residue, and interseeding cover crops that help plant health and provide forage for his cows. We discussed how the technology is working for him and how others might adapt some of what he has been implementing on his fields. Derek Minold joins me here on Farming the Countryside. He farms in central Illinois. We're going to talk cattle, but also probably some crops. Derek, first of all, thanks for joining me. And you may want to tell folks what you farm and where you farm there in Illinois. You've got a pretty diverse operation, it sounds like.
Yeah, so from Prince Hill, Illinois, which is northwest of Peoria, so pretty centrally located, have corn, soybeans, pumpkins, which is not normal outside of Illinois, but there is a couple facilities close by to process them. And then I also grow some wheat and have mainly transitioned to relay cropping with wheat, with beans, soybeans in that. That's the row crop operation, and my brother and I, which my brother's involved with, and we also have a couple of confinement buildings too, for hogs, a couple 2480 buildings.
I've got to ask you real quick, I'm familiar that part of Illinois does have some pumpkins. Has that been something you've been doing a long time? And then how many acres are you doing? Because you have some commercial canning plants in the area, is that right?
Yep, one in Morton and one in Princeville. Both facilities have been around for a long time. My dad and uncle have raised pumpkins for probably 30-plus years. When we took over farming, we just continued on with it. I think there's about 15,000 acres between the two facilities, and you do have to rotate them out quite a ways, 5-6 years between pumpkin plantings for disease and other reasons. So,
yeah, that's what I've heard over time. Yeah, it's a long rotation with pumpkins, but it must be profitable. It must be something that a lot of folks, they've done it for years there in that area.
Yes, yep, nope, it, you know, good, low input because they do most of the work, and then the corn always does really good after it. So that's a big plus, too.
Well, one of the main things I wanted to visit with you about was some of the cattle grazing that you're doing. And we'll get into the technology in a moment, but maybe we should talk about what you were doing before you used some of the technology. You've had a cow-calf operation for a while, but had you been doing some rotational grazing, or what had you been doing with your cow-calf herd?
Yeah, so really we haven't been in the cattle that long. I actually got back in it in 2019. My son and I did. He was in high school. Kind of started as an FFA project for him. My dad and uncle got rid of the cow-calf operation in the middle 80s, like a lot of people did. So kind of started back with buying some calves and actually finishing them out. My son was doing some freezer beef sales and then got into calving in 21, and have kind of slowly grown that to about 30 cows right now. But yes, we've been main focus, I guess, with the cattle was trying to graze cover crops and graze crop residues. So yeah, a lot of polywire and moving fences over the years here.
Well, that ground that you're using then, did you convert anything back into pasture, or is it mostly just grazing off cover crops and some of the residues you mentioned?
Yeah, so where I live, we did convert. It was only about 10 acres that we were farming that gave me about 25 acres of pasture that we took out of pasture in 2009. And so that about 10 years it was farmed. And then I've also rented some permanent pasture from a neighbor. But yes, we did convert a little bit back.
It sounds, though, like the amount of acreage you had, did you have to go to rotational grazing immediately because you didn't have that many acres for the number of cows you were wanting to graze, or what did you initially do?
Yeah, so, I mean, I was kind of intrigued by the rotational grazing and that concept, so that's kind of the direction we went right away. And then also just with, you know, initially when I converted that ground from farm ground back to pasture, I did grow cover crops on it a couple years, so it was just an easy way to get into rotational grazing and get the best value out of those cover crops.
Then at some point you are doing rotational grazing, but you decide to use the new technology to eliminate the wire and go to, in this case it's no fence, but talk about that transition.
Yeah, so I looked at it for a couple years, part of the Illinois Grazing Coalition. They have a conference in March, usually knew about it through that. And then my biggest initial concern was the connectivity of it through the cell signal. But a guy an hour away that had been using it for a couple years let me borrow a collar. And so I was able to test it that way. And it is amazing how my cell phone won't work in a couple of my pastures, but the collars do. It's just a different, a very small blip when it sends a communication.
For those that aren't familiar with it, talk about what it is. So you're putting an actual collar on each animal, is that right?
Yes. So cow-calf, we're just doing the cows. I just got it last July, end of June last year, so 6 months right now into it. While the calves are small, I mean, it's like normal, they don't stray that far from the moms, but also it does give them the opportunity to graze ahead on better forage, and, you know, do a little better that way. And then I also did put it on some replacement heifers and a couple steers that we had for freezer beef. But yeah, each animal has a collar. It is a shape file, kind of like a GPS file that is sent to them. No fence, even since I've got it's kind of upgraded their technology where as long as one cow or animal in the group gets the signal, it will communicate between the collars after that. So a little, makes it better in poor communication areas.
You know, one of the reasons I wanted to visit with you is I've had folks on this show before that have used similar technology, but they've mostly been out west, so the size is really large. And one of the drawbacks I've always heard is, well, if you know, are in the Midwest or you have smaller paddocks, you're going to run out of battery too fast because it's, in a sense, always going to be pinging that collar. So what's your experience been?
Battery life has been good. Obviously, it depends on the animal. I mean, it's no that animal, the one that always pushed against the hot wire is the one that's always pushing against the no fence boundary. So you see those batteries decrease a little faster. And then right now, I'm not really utilizing them in the winter here right now. December was so snowy, I had to start feeding them. But I have had one die here in 6 months' time. So, but, you know, not an issue. They really recommend trying to take them off, you know, like when you're winter feeding. I just have not done it yet. So,
Yeah, but you feel like then the battery life could be 6 months before you'd have to maybe do anything, or at least that's what you experienced.
Yes. Yep. So they do have a little solar panel on the side of them that charges them. So
that helps, but you still have to change the battery at some point then, even though you've got the solar panel.
Yes. Yep. So I will go through, take all the collars off here in the next few weeks, and then, you know, probably will not put them back on till, I usually don't start grazing again till April time frame, whether that's cover crops in a field or back to pastures. But in Illinois, we got to deal with the mud.
Right, right. So talk about then how you graze them and how big a paddocks. How often are you, in a sense, moving them with the collars?
Yeah, so the collars have obviously given me a lot more flexibility with that. Before, with the poly wires, occasionally I would do twice a day moves. Most of the time it was once a day, and then especially during like spring season, planting season, or fall during harvest time, I didn't have the manpower to rotate them. So that, you know, totally changes past fall. I can do it from the combine, wherever. But also, you still need to check your animals also just to see, you know, how much they're grazing, utilizing of the forage too.
Yeah. I'm curious, with you doing the cover crops and then doing some residue grazing, did that really change what you're able to do and, you know, in a sense, be able to graze those places better as well? Because I'm not running anybody doing that, but it's a great idea.
Yeah. So, I mean, just like, you know, this past fall, I've actually been doing some wide row corn where we've been interseeding cover crops during the summer. And so in the past, I was never able to get my cattle out onto that until after we were done with harvest, where we harvested a little bit, 15 acres early, and I was able to manage that, you know, and turn them out immediately while we were harvesting during the fall. So big labor savings, you know, and also better utilization of the cover crops.
So you were turning cows into crop fields where you still had crops standing, but they respected the invisible fence, so to speak, then.
Yes, yep. So that was cow-calf. The calves were getting to the point where they were wanting to stray away from mom. We did put up a poly wire along the edge where I hadn't harvested yet. I tried it for a day, but the calves were quickly out in the corn, so we had to get them back in, but yes.
So. You know, talk about how those collars work. What is it that is, in a sense, keeping them in, if we talk about it that way?
Yeah, so, like I said, it's a shape file that gets sent to them, and then there's an audible sound first when they come up to a line. I think there's five different levels that they would hear. Most of them will turn away as soon as they hear it, once they get used to it. There's also those ones that want to get every last bite, and so they will go right up to the edge. And some of those, my most aggressive cow, she'll get shocked a couple times a week. She just likes to push the limits. But I'm not saying you don't get any escapes, but it's not like something where they always want to go back to the herd type thing. So maybe 15, 20 minutes, they're past the line, and that is an interesting way they have that work too. They don't get shocked on the way back. It turns off, lets them re-enter, and then reactivates it.
Is it initially just a sound and then later a shock, or how does it work?
Yep, just audible sounds to begin with, and it amplifies up to a certain point, and then eventually it shocks them. So it changes their grazing behavior too, because, you know, poly wire, they're visual, they're used to seeing a line, now they're listening. They tend to eat with their head stretched out more, you know, and so just different way for them to move about.
People that are considering this, obviously there's cost. So for you, was it a cost savings, or was it a labor savings, or what has been the big seller for you to be able to use it?
Both of them, really, because, you know, no cows for a long time. I don't have a lot of permanent fence. They, you know, I'm pretty remote. I wouldn't recommend, you know, running them next to a major highway with no fence. But, you know, that part of it. So for me, it was just, especially our crop fields, you know, I have no fence left. So that part of it, and then also just the labor savings of it too was a big benefit for me.
People will sometimes say, well, I don't think I could use this because I've got a lot more cows. I don't have the time. I know that you just have 30, but still it's working great for you. So what do you say when people ask, well, could I use this for cow-calf on a larger scale or maybe have stocker cattle, something like that? Is it realistic in what you're experiencing?
I mean, for me, it is. Obviously, we were, you know, rotationally grazing. I mean, I've heard people say they've stuck it on cows that were just used to standard grazing and they learned very quickly. You know, I would say, you know, if you have a lot of infrastructure and you already have money invested in it, you know, maybe it's not, you know, your thing. But for me, you know, it was either put in permanent fence, which is very expensive today, or invest in this. And then, you know, I'm able to go four or five different locations and that investment moves with them, you know, versus a fence and a fence post being stuck in a farm.
I'm interested in the interseeding that you're doing. It sounds like you've been progressive in that. Talk about how you're doing that then. So you're planting corn, but then when do you come back and interseed, and how do you do that, and then what are you seeding?
I've done it for 3 years. The first 2 years was about 10 acres or less, tried at small scale, different row configurations. We're 30-inch rows, so I've tried to just, you know, keep it something that would match up to our existing equipment. So I've tried a couple 30s and a 60, and I've tried just some straight 60-inch gaps the first 2 years. One thing I noticed was, I mean, you'll get more biomass than straight 30-inch rows, but it still does not amount to a substantial amount of dry matter at the end of the year. And so this past year, I went to grouping three 30-inch rows and taking two 30-inch rows out. So basically, I have an 8-row head, 16-row planter. The planting's a little bit challenging to make it work. I'm planting row 1 and 16, double planting it. So like half, I do have the technology on my planter to like half individually control the population per row. So, you know, and then my combine with an 8-row head, basically my two middle rows are missing. All right, so 3 on, 2 off, 3 on. So I don't know if you can visualize that or not, but basically I turned my 8-row head into a 10-row head because you got, then on each side of it, you got a couple rows that you're not ever running over. And then obviously that, so basically corn row to corn row, I have a 90-inch gap in there. And so I planted it a little later than I wanted to. It was almost the end of June, so I did have to add a little bit of chemical herbicide to get the weeds under control. Not, goal would be maybe the middle of June, early June to plant that. At this point, this year I'm just planning on broadcasting it with some dry fertilizer, sulfur, nitrogen, and then I need to retrofit like an old rotary hoe or something to just incorporate it a little bit. I've tried to straight broadcasting it in the summer, depending on your whether it's hit and miss, whether it comes or not, and sometimes the weeds will get ahead.
What are you planting? What are you interseeding then? What crop?
Yeah, so it's about a 12. I've done like a 12-way mix. So Sudan grass, pearl millet, those are obviously your big forage producers. Sunflower, sun hip, and then about four different types of brassica. So pretty diverse. One thing I will say, like the Sudan grass does not like the competition in the corn. Like, there was a little bit that grew, but not much. I'll probably take that out of the mix. Plus, it also, depending on when you plant it the first year, I planted it too early, and I felt like it dominated the corn. I didn't, like, Jason Mock has been doing a lot of this. You know, he went back out and mowed it off. I didn't take the time to do that. I had about 30 acres this year. So, going forward, you know, the pearl millet does fine. That's a little bit shorter. Also, like annual ryegrass, some of those type of grasses in the mix.
But you're just doing this on a limited amount of acres and the total acres that you have cropping?
Yeah, it's very limited. And just, you know, basically where I run the cattle at my house is pasture and farm ground mix. So it makes it, you know, useful to me. I basically, as soon as I harvest it, can turn my cows right out on it.
Some people will say then, well, why go to that effort? Why not just have a, you know, a pasture and not mess with the corn, because it sounds like a lot of work. But you would tell me what, why?
Well, I mean, so part of the, yeah, so part of that would be, you know, the cattle do really good on it. You know, especially stocker cattle. I've seen some really good gains off of it grazing that type of mix. And then the flip side is on the corn side, you know, right now I haven't been able to reduce my inputs, but part of that would be, you know, because basically this coming year where I had those blank strips where the cover crops were planted, that will go into corn, and what was corn last year will go into cover crops. So hopefully as you build that system, your fertility, soil structure, soil health will all improve over time, you know, and you'll be able to reduce your nitrogen. I did not put any fungicide on it this year. More sunlight, more air movement. Really did not. It was really the only farm we did not spray. So I had a mix of 30-inch rows and this wide row corn. But I really did not, you know, the plant health was better.
Are you grazing cows then on other acres that's just strictly corn residue, conventional, without any of these cover crops too?
A little bit, yes. At one of my rented farms, I rent some farm ground there too, and we turn the cows out on the corn stalks, dry cows. I'm a little different. I calve in April, May, so I usually hold my calves all the way till the following April, you know, through the winter. So I probably have a little different feed needs than some guys do.
But on that crop residue, then you're using the no-fence on that as well to graze it?
Yes. Yep, we did. So, you know, worked great. It's, you know, they deer hunt the property. Come deer hunting weekend, I was able to push them back in the regular pasture just off my phone, and then let them back out in the cornfield. So the landowner appreciated that.
But you're able then to actually move the cattle with the no fence as well.
Yeah, I mean, so obviously I had to watch till they were moved off of the corn ground. Then, yeah, you just, you know, turn, block that part of the pasture off for area.
Yeah, what have you seen then, and maybe it's too early to know, but where you have grazed those cattle on that crop ground, especially at just on the rented acres, I'm guessing, I would think the fertility would be much better because you're getting that manure back on that field, but do you have a way to quantify what you're gaining?
I do not at this point. My biggest, you know, area that I've worked on it is at home here where I live, and we have hog manure in the mix. It doesn't make it to all our farms. What I have seen, you know, my fertility is not dropping, and I have not been adding a lot.
You know, as we wind up here, I'm just interested, your thoughts, being Central Illinois is big crop country and crop margins are tight. I'm sure you're hearing that from neighbors. Has the mix of the livestock, I'm guessing, been beneficial to you because the livestock side, especially the cattle side, has been so strong?
Yes. So I was just working through farm budgets here going, you know, for this coming year. It is really hard to put a dollar number to what you're getting off of the farm ground or the crop ground as far as your grazing component. The biggest thing for me is, like, winter hit early this year. You know, I've been doing a fair amount of feeding. I did back off. I really didn't do much grazing in December. We're back out grazing now. But just, I can move cattle faster to different grazing areas, and I can feed them hay any day, and then the cost of the hay on top of it, you know, it's just a double negative.
And it sounds like your cell signal has held up well enough so far to be able to do it, right?
Yes. No, it absolutely has. So you know, any no offense, talk to me about it. Thankful for the guy to let me borrow it. The one, you know, couple things that I would say for challenges with it, it would seem very simple, but the fitting of the collars actually on the animal, I mean, you don't want it too tight. I've lost a few on the ground that I had too loose. So it obviously will send you a message after it hasn't moved for a while. You might think the animal's dead, but every one of mine have just been a collar laying on the ground, fell off. And then, you know, since I don't have a lot of improved livestock facilities, that is one thing I have not invested in, that like a temporary corral or a portable corral would be something that I will need to do in the future. Just if something happens to them, battery falls off, whatever. So I did have one of my lead cows lost hers early on this summer in that pasture. She stayed with the group for about 4 or 5 days, and then she was off with the calves, not outside the fence, but grazing beyond the area where she was supposed to be.
Well, it's very interesting. I appreciate the chance to learn, and hopefully some of those that are interested have picked up a few things as well. I appreciate the time to talk.
Yes, no, thanks for having me on.
Thanks for joining me on this week's show. Remember, you can follow Farm in the Countryside and our daily show, American Countryside, on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Just type in Farm in the Countryside or American Countryside to find those social media pages. And you can find more of these shows at farmingthecountryside.com under the Listen tab, or just use your favorite podcast platform to scroll back and find other shows of interest as well. I appreciate you joining me. I'm Andrew McCray. I'll catch you next time on Farming the Countryside. This edition of Farming the Countryside has been brought to you by the Top Producer Summit. Get insights into the 2026 economy, farmland investment, and much more, February 9th through 11th in Nashville. Register today at tpsummit.com.
Nobody gave those cows the weekend off. For them, Saturday's just another day. This morning's edition of Agriculture Today is up next, after this quick break.
For four generations, more residents have relied on Ed Hume Incorporated for all their building and renovating needs, whether it's construction, site development, home improvement, blacktop, ponds, or other projects. Their team is up for any challenge in front of them. Ed Hume Construction has two gravel pits in Wyoming County loaded with screened and crushed gravel, topsoil, scalpings, millings, stone products, and more. There isn't a job too big to handle. Call 786-5880 to see what else Ed Hume can do for you, or stop in 17 East Buffalo Street in Warsaw.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Soybean futures have been rallying on strength in soybean oil as it pulled the broader oilseed complex higher, signaling that energy and biofuel expectations, not a traditional supply and demand factor, have been the primary driver. Now, the move confirmed by parallel gains in canola, which reinforces that the rally was oil-led rather than soybean-specific. Advance followed weeks of heavy bearish positioning in soybean oil tied to uncertainty around the renewable fuels policy. And while no new federal announcements have been made, markets did appear to back away from worst-case assumptions on biofuel demand, which prompted short covering and renewed buying interest in vegetable oil markets. Soybean oil stocks remain historically tight. Renewable diesel capacity continues to expand. It's keeping long-term demand expectations intact. Stable crude oil prices also supporting the move, preventing margin pressure from intensifying across the biofuel sector. And canola strength, adding confidence that global vegetable oil balances are tightening, not just U.S. policy sentiment. Meal markets have been lagging. That underscores that the rally not tied to feed demand or export sales. So whether this rally holds really depends on continued strength in the global vegetable oil markets and clear policy direction in the coming weeks. Rural America adding population from 2023 through 2024, marking continued recovery from the pandemic-era downturn, signaling renewed economic stability across non-metro regions. Now, a new Rural America at a Glance report from USDA's Economic Research Service shows positive net migration driving growth, in particular in recreation-dependent counties, while key indicators like employment and poverty have largely returned to their pre-pandemic levels. Economic Research Service analysis finds non-metro employment rebounding to 2019 levels by the year 2024, and poverty rates returning to their pre-COVID conditions in 2023. Now, real median household income increasing recently, though gains remain more modest than those seen during the economic expansion prior to 2020. Financial indicators also improving. Counties with low debt-to-income ratios outnumbered high counties in 2024. In particular, across the Great Plains, suggesting greater balance sheet resilience in many rural areas. Brazil's expanding crop production continues to reshape global markets, raising competitive pressure for U.S. producers as the Southern Hemisphere growing season moves forward. William Maples is an extension economist. Mississippi State says early indicators from Brazil suggest another year of heavy export competition for soybeans, corn, and cotton. And the takeaway? Large Brazilian crops are heightening the downside price risk if weather allows production to reach projected levels. It's Agriculture Today.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare...
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airline travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-298-0306. 800-298-0306. 800-298-0306. That's 800-298-0306.
Moving right along with the Saturday edition of the CJ Agribusiness Report. Tom Cassidy and Tim Slezarczyk are waiting patiently to bring you this morning's edition of the Ag Radionet Farm News. The guys will be along right after these messages.
When it comes to taking care of your land, you need equipment built to last. That's why so many property owners across Western New York and around the United States trust WoodMax, proudly based right here in Akron, New York. For more than 15 years, WoodMax has designed and built premium tractor and skid steer attachments that turn hard jobs into manageable work. Whether it's clearing lake effect snow in the winter, mowing pastures in the summer, or tackling spring and fall cleanup with a wood chipper, WoodMax has the attachment for your property's needs. Each WoodMax product is engineered with durability in mind, backed by warranty protection, and supported locally by the Back 40 Group team, a proud veteran-founded company who recognizes and salutes the brave men and women of our armed forces. They take pride in ensuring every customer's expectations are met even long after the sale. Visit WoodMax.com or stop by 42 Jackson Street in Akron and discover why thousands of landowners nationwide rely on trust in their products to get the job done with ease.
This is the Ag Radio Network Farm News. I'm Tom Cassidy with Tim Slezarczyk.
New legislation supporting rollover prevention and safety was introduced in the Senate last week. The legislation is to help protect farmers from fatal tractor rollovers through USDA's cost share grant program that retrofits older tractors with roll bars and other protections. The act, called the ROPS Act, Rollover Protection and Safety Act, continues operation of the National ROPS Rebate Program. Farmers relying on the effective program, which would expire without congressional action. Senator Hyde Smith of Mississippi introduced the legislation with some Democrat backers. Smith said, "We need to extend the small but important program that saves lives in rural America. Farming and ranching can be dangerous work, made even more perilous because receiving help after an accident in rural areas takes considerable amount of time. Making retrofitting tractors affordable is worthwhile." She hopes the life-saving legislation finds broader support in the Senate and in the House. Under the ROPS Act, grants for retrofitting tractors with roll bars and other protective improvements would cover up to 70% of cost of purchasing, transporting, and installing ROPS or roll bars with a $500 out-of-pocket cap for farmers or eligible schools. In addition to providing grants to dramatically lower financial barriers and save lives, the legislation also creates a program administrator as well as a website and hotline to facilitate the application process. A number of ag organizations also endorse the ROPS Act, including the Association of Equipment Manufacturers, American Farm Bureau Federation, along with Farm Credit and a number of other farm industries. Having spent an entire career working to ensure farmer safety and well-being at work, it's been difficult to hear stories about traumatic deaths and injuries caused by tractor overturns. That according to Julie Sorensen, the chair of the National ROPS Rebate Program.
Seed Innovation Protection Alliance seed company members invest 15% of sales into new seed innovations for your cereal acres. Check the bag for certified seed or single-use agreement restrictions so you don't step over the line. Or talk to your seed dealer. Plant breeders develop better, stronger genetics for your farm. So let's reinvest together to improve yields and quality. Without your patronage and trust, seed companies wouldn't be able to continually develop new genetics, traits, seed treatments, and other innovations to meet your needs.
The global protein market's been undergoing a period of adjustment with shifting trade flows. There's also been changes in export volumes, with some places really growing. Political pressure has reshaped how meat is moving around the world. Australia has emerged as a major driver in global beef trade, exports climbing as that country continues to rebuild its cattle herd following years of drought. Improved pasture conditions and herd expansion have allowed Australian exporters to increase shipments in key markets across Asia and the Middle East, where here in the U.S., prolonged drought has brought our cattle herd to its lowest in more than 60 years, and big appetite for domestic beef has been shrinking the export market. Brazil is exerting growing influence as well, but that in poultry. The world's largest chicken exporter, Brazil, has expanded shipments, supported competitive pricing with abundant feed supplies. They have access to a wide range of international markets. Poultry exports from Brazil have increased their footprint across Asia, Africa, and even in parts of the Middle East. That has intensified competition for other protein exporters, reinforcing poultry's role as the lower-cost alternative to beef. The expansion of Australian beef and Brazilian poultry has reshaped global protein trade flows, that's altered sourcing strategies for importers, and placed pressure on regions with higher costs and more restrictive regulations. The biggest place that has affected has been Europe, with those pressures playing out on the streets. Farmers are protesting trade policies they say undermine domestic production, with producers across many European countries voicing concern that trade agreements and import rules that allow our lower-cost meat to enter the European market without meeting the environmental and animal welfare standards that's required of European Union farmers.
And now another episode of One Soil to Live.
I just can't let you keep treating it like dirt, Claude.
Well, you know I don't mean to, Samantha. It's just I...
It's just what? You don't know it's alive?
Well, I...
Well, it is alive. And if you want to get the most out of it, you'll follow these four principles to keep it healthy and functioning.
All right, Samantha. I'm listening.
First, keep it covered. And keep living roots in it throughout the year with diverse plants and rotations. And finally, disturb it as little as possible.
And if I do as you say, Samantha?
If you do, Claude, I have a feeling it'll be the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
There's an amazing amount of life in healthy soil. More importantly, that life can help make our nation's farms more productive, profitable, and resilient. Contact your local USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service office today and learn more about the basics and benefits of soil health. This message brought to you by USDA and this radio station.
This is the Ag Radio Network Farm News, a voice for farmers of the Northeast.
Appliance savings are happening now at the Home Depot with up to $1,000 off, plus up to an extra $500 off select appliances. Looking to upgrade your fridge? Check out LG's newest models serving up ice in all kinds of styles, cubed, crushed, craft ice, and now new mini craft ice straight from the dispenser. Shop savings and get up to $1,000 off, plus free delivery on select appliances like LG at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $999 or more. Offer valid January 8th through the 28th. U.S. only. See store online for details.
Ever miss a farm show or want to hear something again? We keep a week's worth waiting for you on our webpage. Go to WCJW.com, then click on the Agribusiness tab to find the past seven shows. You're welcome. We're going to step aside for a message or two. Then it's Bill Baker and Dairy Rewind.
Beadworks USA has always been your source for nutritional solutions. Now they offer a complete line of electrolytes, Beadworks Lights for Calves, in a convenient 10-dose resealable bag. Beadworks Lights for Calf Ranch, for everyday calves still on milk. Beadworks Lights for Cattle, for any weaned calf, heifer, or cow. Water is critical for your animal's good health and even survival. It accounts for 98% of all molecules in the animal. The Lights line is designed to help keep them hydrated. Give us a call at 1-866-737-6273 or find us on the web at beadworksusa.com.
An unbeatable combination of power, utility, and comfort. For decades, the PowerStar name has been synonymous with power, utility, and comfort for farms around the world. Today's lineup is no exception. Whether you need a basic utility tractor to rake hay or tend to a few horses, or a daily workhorse to do the morning chores and then head back to the fields, a PowerStar tractor will meet your needs without compromising the star qualities its name symbolizes. Visit Larry, Romance, and Son in our Arcade, Sheridan, and Wood Hull for special financing or cash discounts.
A visit by dairy growers and dignitaries at the White House Wednesday.
I'm delighted to sign the Whole Milk for Healthy Kids Act into law.
President Trump putting his signature on the legislation during the ceremony. The intent of the measure...
It will ensure that millions of school-aged children have access to high-quality milk. As it currently stands, schools participating in the National School Lunch Program are only able to offer students low or non-fat milk options.
In terms of implementation of the Whole Milk for Healthy Kids Act in our nation's schools, Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins said same day at the signing event,
USDA is posting the new rulemaking that is necessary to get whole milk back into school lunches.
With whole milk available in schools and school menus within a few weeks, according to the secretary. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
So there's skim milk, a.k.a. fat-free. There's 1% and 2%. Ever wonder why there isn't a 3%? Well, being a nerdy mom, I do. And you know what? There is one. That's right. It's called whole milk. Whole milk only has 3% milk fat, which, when you think about it, and I do, is not a lot of fat at all. And did you know that no matter what cow's milk you prefer, they all have 8 grams of protein? Of course, it is wonderful. We have so many alternatives, but many nut and plant-based milk substitutes don't meet the nutritional levels naturally contained in dairy. And I'm not big on thickeners, flavorings, or added sugars. Bottom line, cow's milk is still the gold standard when it comes to nutrition. So sure, I'm a nerdy mom, but I love my cows. I mean, kids, I love my kids.
Milk for nerdy moms and just about everyone. Brought to you by Milk for Health on the Niagara Frontier, the guys and gals with the cows.
Winter won't last forever, but until spring arrives, now's the time to get your indoor home projects done. And it all starts with a stop at Burt's Lumber & Perry. Quality Benjamin Moore paints to brighten any room. Bathroom vanities, tubs, showers, toilets, plus all the faucets and fixtures, interior and exterior doors, windows, lumber, drywall, plumbing, and electric supplies. You'll even find laundry and kitchen appliances at Burt's. Make Burt's Lumber & Perry your project place. Open 7 days a week, including Sundays, 9 to 1.
Farming and maintaining your property are year-round jobs made easier with a dependable, easy-to-maintain tractor and conveniently accessible parts and fluids from J-Love Farm Supply. The snow is in the air, but you're still clearing the lane, feeding the cows, and performing that essential maintenance in the shop. J-Love Farm Supply has all the genuine AGCO parts and certified service expertise you need to keep your operation and homestead running. Stop into our locations in Batavia, North Java, or Yorkshire, or shop online anytime. J-Love Farm Supply, your local family-owned source for genuine AGCO parts and service.
We're working our way through the Saturday edition of the CJ Agribusiness Report. In just a moment, we'll check the latest forecast after this brief break.
Western New York weather.
Brought to you by Upstate Niagara Cooperative, a farmer owned by 260 family dairy farms, producing top quality conventional and organic milk at the farm level that leads to award-winning finished dairy products. Bison dip, Upstate Farms yogurt, sour cream, cottage cheese, and fluid milk, home to Intense Milk and their lactose-free milk for life, all produced with care for their cows and commitment for their community. Today, partly sunny and cold, the high near 9 degrees. Wind chill values as low as negative 15. Tonight, mostly cloudy, low right around zero. Sunday, some snow, which could be heavy at times. Accumulations of 3 to 7 inches possible. The high Sunday near 13. And Monday, snow with a high near 15. We're at negative 8 this morning. I'm Steve Popper with your CJ weather forecast.
We know you put your Kuhn Knight equipment to work, and it may be in need of some extra attention. Make sure to inspect bearings, knives, hammers, and other high wear parts to keep your machine running at its best. Genuine Kuhn Knight parts, proudly made in the USA, are now available at Kelly's Garage, your Kuhn Knight dealer in Perry. Invest in quality with original Kuhn Knight parts designed specifically for your machine. Stop in or call 237-2504 for more information today.
Here's a look at how your markets closed on Friday. Corn futures higher with March up 6.5 at 430.5. May gained 5.75 to 438. And December up 3.5 at 455.25. March soybeans were up 3.75 to 1067.75. May gained 3.25 at 1079.5. November up 4.75 at 1082. Chicago March wheat up 14 to 529.5. May gained 12.5 at 539. In Minneapolis, the spring wheat March was up 1.25 at 575. May up 1.5 at 586.75. In the hard red winter, March was up 15 to 540.75. May gained 14.5 at 550.5. Cotton futures in the red with March down 7 points at 63.81, May off 1 at 65.48, July down was unchanged at 66.97. Back in Chicago, February live cattle up 252.5 to 234.90, April up 210 to 236.92.5, June was up 160 at 232.50. March feeders up 90 at 360.17.5, April up 80 to 358.75, May gained 57.5 to 356.05. February lean hogs were off 12.5 to 88.35. April down 17.5 to 96.17.5. May down 22.5 to 99.55. The class 3 milk February up 34 cents to 15.34. March was up 45 cents to 15.66. Crude oil ended $1.88 higher at $61.24 a barrel. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones lost 285, ending at 49,098. The NASDAQ was up 65 to 23,501. The S&P up 2 at 69.15.
How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right, for about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing-fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you don't like it, you get your money back. But you're going to love it. And you're going to love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day. Plus, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. And our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-923-9018. 800-923-9018. 800-923-9018. That's 800-923-9018.
Thanks for listening to the CJ Country Agribusiness Report. Catch it every Monday through Saturday starting at 5 a.m. And stand by for Western New York's Morning Show next on CJ Country.